This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Ari Shapiro, filling in for Neil Conan. It's been sounding a lot like Christmas for more than a month now. Christmas carols are everywhere. And frankly, I think our brains are better off for it. I mean, really, how would we know the names of all 8 reindeer if not for a song about Rudolph? Or how would we know how to say Merry Christmas en Español if not for...
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad.
Jose Feliciano wrote and recorded Feliz Navidad in 1970. Since then, the song has become one of the most played Christmas tunes around the world. Feliciano has topped album charts for more than 5 decades, and this year, he won his first Latin Grammy for Best Contemporary Tropical Album, making a total of 7 Grammys in his career. If you'd like to talk with him about Feliz Navidad or other Christmas songs that make your season bright, call us. The number here in Washington is 1-800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can also join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Later, we'll talk to a music guru about quirkier Christmas tunes. Call in with your favorite Christmas oddities. But first, what makes a Christmas song a classic? Jose Feliciano's latest album is called Con Mexico en el Corazón, and he joins us by phone from Connecticut. Welcome to the program, and Feliz Navidad.
Thank you, Ari. It's great to be with you. Great to be with everybody at NPR. I would like to say this is not a solicited commercial, but I really hope that everybody, as a Christmas gift, donates generously to NPR because...
Oh, that's very kind of you.
It's kind of like our Radio Free Europe.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
Listen, this song basically made Christmas bilingual back in 1970. Was that what you were setting out to do when you wrote this?
Well, yes and no. Yes, I wanted people to know how to say Merry Christmas in English. But the real reason I did it in both languages was so that the radio stations couldn't give me any excuse why they wouldn't play the song. However, I'm happy that it's turned out the way that it has, because I think in an era where immigration has come up and has been so important and in some ways a little bit destructive to our culture because most of the immigrants have been Latinos. I'm really happy that I could bring both cultures together.
So maybe this is more of a political song than people realize.
Maybe so. But the truth is that I love America. America has been wonderful to me. And as a Latino, I want Latinos to stop having fear of speaking English. I want them not to feel like they will lose their identity if they learn to speak English. And that's why I did Feliz Navidad in both languages.
So it was as much about bringing Spanish to the English speakers as it was bringing English to the Spanish speakers.
Most definitely.
Did you set for yourself as a goal that this would become an iconic Christmas song that would last through the decades, or were you just trying to write another tune?
Well, truthfully, what happened with me was my producer at the time, Rick Girard, whom I owe a lot to, because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have written a Christmas song. We were at my house in California, and in July, we were recording my Christmas album. So Rick said to me, Jose, why don't you write a Christmas song? Because at that time, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree was the last Christmas song ever written for Christmas. And so I said, well, I don't know, you know. And then I thought about it, and the melody came to being, and then Feliz Navidad, and then the Spanish portion, and then I thought, well, let me write an English part to it, and that was where I Want to Wish You a Merry Christmas came into being.
Yeah. Now, I want to choose my words carefully here, but I think there's a dark side to any catchy song, which is that it might remain with someone day after day, whether they want it to or not. And Feliz Navidad is beloved, and it is iconic. And I wonder, does it ever get stuck in your head more than you might want it to?
No, I'm very grateful, Ori. I'm grateful because of the fact that how wonderful it's been that God gave me this gift to share with everybody. Now, the only people that might get tired of it are the atheists, but then who cares? They're not happy with anything anyway. But I'm so grateful and so blessed that this song came into being because, and let's face it, when I'm no longer on this earth, I'll still be here, and of course, my children will benefit from it, and their children.
Well, what do you think makes a Christmas song successful through the generations? Not just Feliz Navidad, but any Christmas song that becomes iconic.
Well, I love certain songs, like the Christmas song,
mm-hmm.
White Christmas by Irving Berlin, Jingle Bell Rock.
Do you think a great Christmas song has to have something different from a great pop song?
Well, I think what a Christmas song has to have is a catchy melody and a great message of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sometimes when I'm on tour on Christmas, I include the Jewish people in my song by saying Feliz Hanukkah.
It's the same number of syllables. It works perfectly.
Yeah. And let's face it, I hope everybody realizes that if it weren't for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have Christmas. We wouldn't have Christianity. And so I say that Christians and Jews are brothers, and we should try and unite even more and make each other strong in our beliefs.
Hmm. You know, Christmas is one of the only times remaining in our contemporary society where people get together and sing. Do you think a great Christmas song has to be singable in a way that other songs don't? I mean,
yeah.
Feliz Navidad has such a catchy tune.
I think all songs of Christmas have to be singable because Christmas is a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
Hanukkah is a family affair. I'd like to see, for example, I would like to see or hear more songs of Hanukkah, just like Christmas songs, be brought out into the mainstream because you don't hear really much about Hanukkah except a couple of songs like Hanukkah, Hanukkah, come light the menorah. I think somebody ought to, maybe it'll be me. Maybe I'll be the first Puerto Rican to try and write a new Hanukkah song. Wouldn't that be something?
When you do it, give me a call and I'll put you on the air.
I will.
Let's take a caller, okay?
Sure.
This is Ralph from Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Mr. Feliciano.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for you. When you were talking about how Feliz Navidad has had some immigrant reception, and that was part of the, there's like this political overtone to it. And I always, I mean, my favorite song for Christmas has always been John Lennon's Happy Christmas. And
okay.
And it gets criticism for being too political with the war is over chorus at the end of it. And so I wondered if you, what you thought about the Lennon tune and if you thought about this song in that sort of political overture. And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks for your call, Ralph.
Feliz Navidad to you.
Feliz Navidad to you, too.
Thank you. The only thing I thought about Feliz Navidad was, as I said, that it brought the two cultures together.
Yeah.
Spanish and English. And that's basically, I mean, I didn't think about really too many, you know, anything political per se except that I wanted, I wanted Latin people to be proud, let's say, if they were raised in America, to be Americans, to be Latin Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole idea.
Yeah. Well, let's take another caller. This is Victor from South Lyon, Minnesota.
Actually, it's Victor from South Lyon, Michigan.
Sorry about that, Victor.
Hey, hi, Victor.
No problem. Hello, Jose. I listened to your show, Ari. I appreciate what you're doing. Jose, I sing along with our family all the time, and I've always wondered, I wanted to continue singing with actual words instead of humming. What's the second line in Spanish?
Well, before he tells you, I want to ask Victor, what are the words that you sing?
I just kind of stop and mumble and throw my hands up in the air, but and everybody looks
like... Well, it's very easy. Prospero Año, which means prosperous new year, y felicidad.
You want to repeat that, Victor?
Yeah, I'm actually writing this down, so everybody...
This is our Spanish lesson for the day.
Yes, exactly.
Prospero Año, which means a prosperous new year,
Prospero Año.
Y felicidad.
Y felicidad.
Yes.
Simple enough.
Thanks for the call, Victor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Jose, do you notice that a lot of Christmas songs come from a place of sadness? I was thinking about I'll Be Home for Christmas, which was released during World War II, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, from Meet Me in St. Louis.
Christmas by Elvis.
Right, and I understand
that... This one's not sad.
Well, I read somewhere that you wrote this because you were feeling lonely.
Well, that part is true because I miss my family. My family were in Puerto Rico, and I was in California. But Feliz Navidad really comes from a place of joy with me, celebrating my culture. I use Puerto Rican instrument, the cuatro, in Feliz Navidad. I use the gourd as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came from a place of seeing a roasted pig on a spit, which is our culture in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And so it really came, although I missed my family, it also came from a part of being very happy.
Well, I hope you have a very happy Christmas. Feliz Navidad, Jose Feliciano.
I wish you the best, my brother. I thank you for having me on your show, and I thank you for being my friend.
Thank you, and call me when you got that bilingual Hanukkah song, okay?
I will, sir.
Jose Feliciano is the winner of the 2008 Latin Grammy Award for Best Contemporary Tropical Album. His latest album is called Con Mexico en el Corazón. He joined us by phone from Connecticut. When we come back, music guru Bill Adler answers our most pressing Christmas music questions, like, why is so much of the Christmas canon written by Jews? We're taking your calls at 1-800-989-8255. You can also send us an email at talk@npr.org. I'm Ari Shapiro. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Ari Shapiro in Washington. We're talking about the music of the season this hour, from the revered to the weird. Bill Adler is a music enthusiast who compiles a Christmas Jollies mixtape for family and friends every year. His tradition is now in its 25th year, and it's not your average compilation. Adler digs deep into the Christmas music archives to find songs that are rarely heard or just downright odd. We'll hear from Adler and listen to some of his 2008 Christmas tunes in a moment, but first, we want to know what your favorite quirky Christmas song is. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is done, but maybe I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas? Call us with your unpredictable picks. And don't be afraid to sing a chorus or two, but only one or two. We know you've been caroling all day, and we don't want you to strain your voice. Our number here in Washington is 1-800-989-8255, or you can send us an email at talk@npr.org. Now, Bill Adler. He's a former music critic and founding director of publicity at Def Jam Records. He's also co-author of Definition, The Art and Design of Hip Hop. Mr. Adler joins us by phone from Ashby, Massachusetts. Thanks for coming on the program.
Pleasure.
Okay, so you're Jewish. How'd you get into this?
Well, you know, I'm an American as well. You know, it seems to me that Christmas is a national holiday. You know, if I'd wanted to escape it, I couldn't.
True. And actually, you're in good company. So many Christmas songs are written by Jews. There's Mel Torme, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. There's Irving Berlin, White Christmas. What's going on here?
I don't know. I think they realize what I realize. I mean, you know, Irving Berlin was a writer for a given occasion. And you know, I think he must have seen, you know, I mean, he also wrote Easter Parade.
Yeah.
So there are those two things to consider. In other words, you know, these are giant holidays in what is still largely a Christian nation. And, you know, it just makes sense, I guess.
So what do you look for when you're putting together your Christmas CD each year?
Well, I look for music that's meaningful to me. I mean, you know, I'm not the only person who does this kind of thing. There's a kind of a subculture of, you know, obsessives like myself who try to do this year after year. And I think a lot of folks, you know, are kind of motivated just to do the polar opposite of what's usually done in the way of Christmas music. And I think, you know, most of us, a lot of us find, you know, kind of a dominant tone of piety, and sometimes it gets too saccharine and on and on. And so, you know, too many of the folks that do the kind of thing that I do go 180 degrees in the other direction, and it's just, you know, one novelty song after another. And, you know, I don't mind a novelty song, but truthfully, I believe that there's, you know, if you look hard enough, there's a vein of music made in the, you know, a vein of Christmas music that's deep and meaningful, even if it's not, you know, well known necessarily.
Well, we have an example here of something that may not fit the deep and meaningful description, but it was on your 2008 Christmas CD this year, from what I understand, and it kind of takes a traditional Christmas song in a different direction.
Uh-oh, which one?
You'll hear.
Okay.
Silent night, and it's a holy night, yeah, because all is calm, and all is bright, looking good, baby.
Oh, Bill, what is Bootsy doing to that song?
That's Bootsy Collins at his most spiritual there. And also, let's not forget, you know, the trombonist on that is Fred Wesley, who's a beautiful, beautiful trombonist. He's playing the hell out of that.
So this is a serious piece of music.
Well, you know, I'm not to say that Bootsy isn't a lighthearted figure, but, you know, for Bootsy, that was devout, I would say.
Yeah. You've been doing this for 25 years.
Yeah.
Since before the internet was widespread.
Yes.
Has it become easier to find obscure things, or now that obscure things are everywhere on the internet, does it become harder to find something that'll be a novelty for someone?
You know, I don't spend that much time on the internet. I'm still fairly old-fashioned, you know, not critically old-fashioned, you know.
Wow.
I mean, I go to flea markets, and I have friends turn me on to music, and there are still record stores that sell actual records, and you know, I live in New York, where a lot of the antique culture continues to thrive, so one way or another, I'm able to find what I need every year.
So we're looking for vinyl often?
Not necessarily, but, you know, I like vinyl. I mean, one of the things that people, you know, young people don't necessarily understand is that with each of these new kinds of technology, you know, a lot of the old technology gets lost. You know, not every record that was recorded onto vinyl made it onto CD, and not every CD has made it onto MP3. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, I must look at vinyl as well.
There's a song here that I had not heard before hearing it in your mix that I'm sure came off of vinyl. I don't know whether it has ever made it on CD, but I think it's an example of one of these great old songs that we just don't even hear anymore. It's Bing Crosby performing with his son, Lindsay. Let's take a listen.
Great.
Lindsay, the smallest of the small fry, steps forward now. What's your song, Lynn?
I like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
I may join you.
Thank you.
Not at all.
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus.
Oh, wouldn't that be something to see?
I'd like to hitch a ride with Santa Claus, dodging the clouds, waving at crowds.
This boy just got his wings.
I'd crack the whip and keep a watch for weather vanes.
For weather vanes.
I'd help him with his bag and check.
Wow, I could listen to that entire song right now. Why is that not a classic?
Sorry?
Why is that not a classic?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think he recorded it. I think Bing recorded it with the Andrews Sisters, but that's probably pretty obscure as well. But, you know, this was a record, you know, you asked me, how do I find this stuff? You know, I've got a friend named Guy Walker, lives here in New York, and he's gone to collecting 78 RPM records. So he found this on a 78, and I did a little research. The thing was cut in 1950, and you know, I guess it was, you know, it certainly didn't make the transition to LPs, and it was obscure, and I heard it, and like you, I mean, doesn't it just jump out at you? It's heartwarming.
Oh, yeah. It's a fantastic song.
Yeah.
So when you're digging through these old record bins,
right,
what constitutes the perfect find for you? What makes you say, oh, my God, this is going to make this CD the best one ever?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's very simple to me. I mean, I listen to so much and I reject so much of it. So the few standouts really stand out to me, and it's easy for me to make a choice.
Now, there are some songs that are really irritating, and I wonder if that's a plus or a minus for you when you're putting together your mix.
Well, I don't want to irritate anybody. I want people, you know, I really do want to create a viable alternative, you know, according to my taste. You know, I don't want to turn people off.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to play something for you, and we're going to see what listeners think.
Uh-oh.
This is Sister Hazel's version of a Hanukkah classic.
Oh, okay, good.
Thank you. I don't know. Maybe that song is just essentially irritating in and of itself. Maybe it's
You know what? We're Jewish, and maybe we've heard it off, you know, too often. But, you know, when I heard it once again, you know, what occurred to me, I'd never heard of Sister Hazel before.
Uh-huh.
And, this, you know, apparently, you know, they're a viable band. They've got a career and the rest of it. But, they, you know, they can really play. That's a, they're beautiful musicians. They made it swing. And it sounded, you know, different enough to me to bear up to repeated listening. You know, I've got a friend who's got young children who are not Jewish, and, you know, they've listened to this year's version of Christmas Jollies, and they've chosen that as one of their favorites. So,
all right. Well, let's go to Anna in Portland, Oregon, our first caller. Hi, Anna. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Fine, thanks. You've got a selection for us?
Yeah, I do. But I was just listening to y'all talking about meaningful Christmas songs and then later about vinyl, and one of my favorite meaningful Christmas songs is That Spirit of Christmas. That's from Ray Charles, The Spirit of Christmas. So, But the song I called about, it's a childish song. It's something I did in choir when I was like 11, but I've never met anyone else who's ever even heard of the song. It's called Chocolate in My Stocking for Christmas.
Can you sing a few bars for us?
I'll do my best.
Go for it.
It's embarrassing, but here goes.
It's just you and me.
As we're standing in line to sit on Santa's lap, I wish I could just lie down and take a nap. All I ever see are grown-ups' knees and undersides of Christmas trees. I never, ever get to see what's happening. Anyway, the kid goes on to say that when he gets up to Santa, Santa's going to hear from someone with great taste. And the chorus says, I just want chocolate in my stocking for Christmas. I'm really very easy to please. And so it's all about chocolate. And I've never met anyone else who's heard of it, though. So
Bill Adler?
You know what?
I don't even know where my music teacher dug it up.
Well, let's see if Bill's heard of it.
Well, you know, I haven't heard of it, but, you know, I think there's, you know, a large percentage of all the Christmas songs that are ever cut were aimed at children, maybe done in children's voices or with a children's choir or something. So, you know, this sounds like, you know, one of those songs.
Hmm.
I mean, I understand it, and you know, I appreciate that it's stayed in this woman's mind all these years.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
You too. We have an email from Mark in Phoenix, Arizona, who nominates Santa Baby by Eartha Kitt. He writes, two words, very sexy.
That's true. And, you know, sexy enough for Madonna to have covered it, and since then it's been covered a whole bunch of times. Yeah, it's a funny song. It's a novelty song. I like it well enough. I mean, I don't think I've ever put it on my Christmas jollies, but, you know, it's a classic. It comes back every year.
Let's listen to another song that brings a little romance into the Christmas music genre.
Sure.
I want you with me Christmas, when candles are aglow. I want your love.
Bill, you want to tell listeners what they're hearing?
That's Jesse Belvin doing I Want You With Me Christmas, and it was cut in 1956. And, you know, he was, you know, you can hear he's a kind of, you know, a Nat Cole kind of singer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hadn't heard it before. I heard it on a CD reissue that came out just last year, I think. And I kind of love it a lot, not least because it's so lush, and it's kind of early for, you know, a black artist to be singing with something that lush. I mean, you know, I don't even know if Ray Charles was recording with strings at that point. But, you know, this guy gets the whole big plush arrangement here.
And I understand he also wrote Earth Angel.
Jesse Belvin?
No, is that incorrect?
I mean, I suppose it's possible. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I also want to read from an email that we have here. It says, I'm so excited that you mentioned I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. That song has been a favorite in my family for years. Quick question about it, though. My dad and I have a disagreement about the origin of the song. Can you clarify why this marvel was written? Bill Adler?
To irritate us all 50 years later. I don't know why. Why was it written? Is that the question?
Yeah. What was the occasion for its composition? No idea, huh?
I'm afraid. No, I'm aware of the song. I know the song. I don't know about the origin. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, here's another email from Lisa in San Francisco who writes, the Christmas hit songs that were written by Jews were written for Hollywood films. The American dream, as portrayed on the silver screen, embodies the dream of countless Jewish immigrants, including those who became successful in Hollywood. That's just one of countless examples of the intersection between Jewish culture and mainstream culture. Sounds like we may have tapped into something bigger here.
Well, sure. There was a book I'm trying to remember. You know, I mean, there's a book called How the Jews Invented Hollywood. And in this, and it sounds like, you know, this listener kind of cooked it down for the purpose of his or her email. You know, I will say this. You know, Jose Feliciano said something that was real interesting to me about, you know, why aren't there more Hanukkah songs? And that's a good question, and I'm afraid the answer, in my opinion, is that Hanukkah isn't really a giant holiday in the Jewish calendar. It's not a holiday that's comparable with Christmas. It just happens to fall at the same time every year. And so it just hasn't inspired songwriters, including Jewish songwriters, to make a lot of great songs. And believe me, I've looked every doggone year. You know, I want to, you know, include some kind of Hanukkah song. And
I think we may actually have an example of one right here.
All right.
Schlepp der Holz mit Love, Zahala, fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Dann wird alles gay, fa la 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 la.
Okay, so maybe strictly speaking, it's not Hanukkah, but.
No, that's some jokers. You know, actually, it's kind of mysterious to me. They call themselves, for that cut, they call themselves the Three Wise Men, not the Three Wise Men.
The Three Wise Men.
and it's on a very odd album where it's this kind of fake tour of Christmas around the world, and they do parodies in a bunch of different genres. And this is just one of them, you know, where basically this guy goes into his Mel Brooks 2,000-year-old man kind of shtick. And it's funny to me, but you know, it's only funny for whatever it is, 30 seconds or so, and then I moved on to the next thing.
We're talking about Christmas music on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Bill Adler, are there any lines that you absolutely will not cross when you're putting this mix together?
Yeah, there are some songs that are hateful. Some songs that are really, you know, kind of punk-oriented, anti-Christmas songs. There are songs that curse Christmas. You know, I'm not going to put any of that on. There's some songs that are, like, terminally silly. I'm not going to put that on.
All right, well, let's take another caller. This is Sue in Moscow, Idaho. Hi, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
It's pretty much snowed in, but other than that, it's a great.
Well, at least you've got your music. What's your song nomination?
My song is called A Christmas Song by Sean Phillips. And, in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a disc jockey on a San Francisco radio station who played it every year. And the neat part about this song is it's like a Dixieland jazz, and it's all happy, and all of a sudden it gets kind of spooky, and then it ends up happy again.
Bill Adler, have you ever heard of it?
Well, I remember Sean Phillips from that era. I mean, the drugs were stronger then.
I mean, I actually have it cued if you want to hear it.
I'd love to. Hit it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, here it is. Got it right here set for you.
Just a few seconds, maybe 10 seconds.
About, and everybody loves that man so much that they wanted to laugh and shout.
I
so
love
that's
it.
How it starts out.
That's great.
And then there's a spot where it goes, I mean, it starts out, it came in a way that... it is all about happy babies, and all of a sudden it said, the people in power, they gave him an order, go back and be a carpenter. So they shouted in his face that he was right, and they hung him on a cross right there, and he went, wait. And then it gets all happy about, at Christmas time, be around your tree, and the more you're going to give, the more you're going to get to be a lady and a gentleman.
Wow. Okay, thanks for the call, Sue.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, I think we have time for one quick final call. This is Nathan in San Diego. Hi, Nathan.
Hi.
What's your nomination for a quirky Christmas song? Quickly.
The perfect quirky Christmas song is Super Mario Sleigh Ride. You can find it at ocremix.com, and it's a remix of Sleigh Ride with the Super Mario soundtrack and a lot of other Christmas songs, and it captures the holiday spirit perfectly.
Bill Adler, has that ever made it onto your mix?
No.
All right, well, maybe next year. Thanks for the call, Nathan.
Absolutely.
Well, Bill Adler, I'm afraid that's all the time we have, but thank you for joining us on this Christmas Day on Talk of the Nation.
Fun. Thank you so much.
Bill Adler is a former music critic and founding director of publicity at Def Jam Records. He joined us by phone from Ashby, Massachusetts. And coming up, I have no idea. It's a surprise celebrity guest for me and for you from Talk of the Nation. I'm Ari Shapiro. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.